We have some slides we'd like to show you today, and our talk is a little bit interesting. It's about what's going on in the world today, not just the United States, but what's happening in the world that would tell us that we're close to the end of time. Now, we have a message, don't we, for the world? I think that message is that it's kind of like Noah's day. Get ready. Come into the ark. There's not much time left. Revelation 17 here is kind of interesting. It says in 10 horns, it talked about, and we read some of this. These 10 horns, according to Daniel, the 7th chapter, are 10 kings, right? 10 kingdoms. And I think it's kind of a round number. I don't think it has to be exactly 10. 10 is a number that we often use, talking about a round number. But it says they haven't received authority yet, not in his day. But they would receive authority as kings with the beast. They become of one mind. In other words, they all agree on what has to be done, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. The beast being, in this case, Revelation 13 identifies the beast as the Christian church coming out of Rome. You know, apostasy in the Christian church, I don't know if we talked about this before, just looking around, but when you're talking to people down in Latin America, for example, we live there, South America, Central America, and our boys always talked about the Antichrist as apostasy within the Christian church. That's what it is. And in fact, in John's day and Paul's day, he says they already exist now. They were among us and they've gone out from us. And he talked about some of the heresies in the Gnostic community, you know. So it is more than what we often think, right? It is a total apostasy within the Christian church. Now, it says that these kings would make war with the Lamb. How do you make war with Christ?
Through his church.
You attack his children, right? What's the best way to get at somebody? You attack their children. And they can't get to him in heaven, but they can attack us. And the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. It also says that in Revelation 19. And those who are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Three words that are very important. We've all been called, haven't we? Go into all the world and teach. And are we chosen? Yes. It's amazing how you look back in your experience and you see how God chose you, how he stepped in and saved you. And of course, faithful. Take a look at that. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war. This is Revelation 19. Against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Who's his army? Okay, the army would be all these holy angels that coming with him, you know, this Christ on this white horse, right? And somebody said church, and I think we're part of that army. And he's going to make war against God's people. Now, over the centuries, there have been many kingdoms that thought they had engulfed the whole world, that they controlled the whole world. You see those out of Daniel 7, don't you? And then some other people that, just seeing their picture, you recognize who they are. And these people thought that they were going to control the world, did everything in their power. I think Satan was behind a lot of that. Now, he's behind it again. And there is a movement, we're going to take a look at this, where the leaders of the world feel like they need to come together and form a government. What's the history of this world government? Well, it starts out, and you remember pretty well, the League of Nations. It came out just after World War I. And they thought that, well, man, we ought to get together and prevent this from ever happening again. Well, it didn't. And it happened just a few years later, World War II, and then they formed the United Nations. Now, it's interesting that the membership of the United Nations is reserved for various countries, not individuals. However, if you look into it, the papacy in Rome has a representative there, and they are not necessarily a country that can prevent the wars from happening, so they have a voice, and they can vote on committees, but they can't vote in the General Assembly. I believe, though, that there is more influence there than we give them credit for. Let me go back to that. So it is not a legislative body. Okay? In other words, the United Nations is not like our Congress. They are an advisory group. Now, their purpose is to foster cooperation between existing national governments rather than exert authority over them. And we have people that don't like that. We'll get to that. They don't like that part. So within the UN, we have also a League of Democratic Nations which support a Federation of Nations. This has not come yet, but they're looking to unite into a Federation of Nations. Part of that is the Great Reset. Anybody heard of that? Okay, David Rockefeller, he started the Trilateral Commission. If you want to read about something interesting, go back into the history of the Trilateral Commission. And he said, we are on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis. Have you ever heard some politicians saying, take advantage of every crisis? And for change, we need to bring in change. We need to fundamentally change America. Have you heard that from politicians? And he says, and what we need is the right crisis, and the nations will accept the New World Order. Picture there is of the chairman, Klaus Schwab, who's of the World Economic Forum. And we'll see what he had to say, too. Now, this Great Reset was presented to the world largely through who is now Charles III, King of England. But before his coronation, he said this. He said, global capitalism should be transformed so that corporations no longer focus solely on serving shareholders, but become custodians of society by creating value for stakeholders. Global governance by this method. Okay, what's a shareholder and what's a stakeholder? What's the difference? A shareholder, we know by Wall Street. You buy into a company. If you're loaning money to a company, what do you call that? Bonds. When you buy bonds, you're just loaning money to these companies. If they go bankrupt, you go bankrupt. Shareholders are actually part owners in these major corporations and companies. But a stakeholder, when they say stakeholder, and we'll get to that, they're saying everybody in society should share in the benefits of this wealth. In other words, global socialism. And so it says, it would have happened in 2021 in Switzerland, but they were canceled due to COVID. So they're still working on it. A unitary world government would consist of a single central government body with supreme sovereignty. That means they would have power over every other government in the world. And it says, while administrative subdivisions might exist, their powers are delegated by the central government. In other words, this world government. Do you know what kind of government China has? It's just exactly what we're talking about here. So the government that they're looking for as a world government would be exactly like the government in China. In China, you do not elect the people in the top forum. You've seen on pictures on television, you see all these men sitting around in this big lobby. Well, they're not elected. Is China a democratic government? They say yes. They say it's a democratic government. And you can elect your local officials and, you know, here it would be like city, county officials. You can elect all those officials. But they can't touch the people at the top. So in the Great Reset, King Charles' major objective, according to his speech as king, is to combat global warming. We'll see that there are several objectives they have to try to bring the kings of the world together. And here is Klaus Schwab. He says, the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. So they were counting on the pandemic. But believe me, there will be other pandemics. There's a lot yet to come. The changes we have already seen in response to COVID-19 prove that a reset in our economic and social foundations is possible. This is our best chance to instigate stakeholder capitalism. What is stakeholder capitalism? Socialism. And here's how it can be achieved. To achieve a better outcome, the world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and economies. From education, now what's going on in education right now? Are they changing the country by means of education? I think that's why you have so many people coming to our schools. They see what's going on in our public schools. And it says, from education to social contracts and working conditions, and he's talking about unions. And then it goes on to say, and every country from the United States to China must participate. And every industry from all oil and gas to tech must be transformed. In short, we need a great reset of capitalism. Have they been working on tech? And we'll talk a little bit more about that, how and why they're going to be working on the tech industry. World federalism is another name for it, or global federalism. It's an ideology of a federal world government. But what does democratic mean? It's interesting that you've ever heard of CPUSA? Communist Party USA? You go into their website and look it up. And they want world democracy. And it's a democracy like China and Russia. Russia, according to them, is a democracy. In fact, in the 1990s, they redid their constitution and put together a government similar to ours, but then somebody stepped in and took over. You know who that was, right? So the World Federation would have an authority on global issues. Its members would retain authority over local and national issues. In other words, from this group at the top would control all the government down below, but any government down below could not control them. We say that in our government, it's the government of the people. It starts at the bottom, and the power is with the people and moves up. Well, this world government would not. It would. You could have a good say at what's going on locally, but they would control from the top. So if you made decisions in your local community that they didn't like, they could come in and change it. For the reasons for control, we mentioned, number one, climate. The collapse in the climate, they say. And do you hear about that on the news?
It's
Have you ever sat through the 6 o'clock news when they didn't bring up something about the climate and say, oh, yeah, well, climate's out of control and we've got this heat over here. If it's cold, it's climate change. If it's hot, it's climate change. If it's a hurricane or tornado, it's climate change, right? Well, there's a reason for that. That's the number one thing they're using to try to bring governments of the world together. Then the second one is poverty, food, redistribution of wealth. And we have seen that in recent years where they tried to say, oh, you countries that are producing more of the industry, you're contaminating the air, so we need to take wealth away from you and give it to the third world countries. It was a redistribution of wealth type of thing, using the climate. And then they say we need control. We need to control the internet, misinformation, and disinformation. Misinformation is what? Misinformation is information that is mistaken. Disinformation are lies made up to propagate some kind of change in what people's thinking. And so they say misinformation and disinformation. Then next, they say one of the reasons for worldwide control is nuclear war, and they have made a lot of efforts to prohibit nuclear weapons. I think Russia just backed out of that, didn't they? So we're going to see that there are some problems to putting the whole world together on this thing. We'll see what happens and how bad things can really get before they really have this kind of power. In fact, as I read the book of Revelation, I can see things happening. I can see that we're going to have some major catastrophes in nature. In fact, doesn't it keep talking about an earthquake in the book of Revelation, a great earthquake? And there are other earthquakes. We're going to see some catastrophes in nature. Some even read into the trumpets that there will be asteroids striking the earth. And I remember one of our previous fellows, what's his name down there at Signs of the Times, Marvin Moore. Marvin Moore would come and speak in my churches, and he'd say, yes, I think some of those trumpets could be literal as well as something spiritual or figurative. So he thought that the trumpets could happen again, especially since Ellen White says trumpet after trumpet is yet to be sounded and vial after vial is yet to be poured out. And so it sounds like the trumpets and the plagues are still future. But at any rate, could have asteroids hitting the earth. It talks about a mountain with fire and with ice behind it. Doesn't that sound like a meteor or an asteroid? And it says then, so they're trying to come up with a way to control all these things. And I think the talk about these things is an excuse to get one world government. And they have an upcoming summit, and they're going to discuss nuclear risk and disarmament. It's going to be right on the top of the agenda with Russia now attacking Ukraine and wanting to back out of any nuclear agreement. And then the World Economic Forum is they want a common security approach to replace reliance on nuclear weapon-free world. They want to get out of nuclear energy. And I think that we may be in trouble, too, in the future, and it may bring about some changes, a crisis in the United States when we try to go completely to electric, and then you have a storm on the sun that knocks out our power grids. And people will do anything to get control of their lives again, right? In fact, if that were to ever happen, you'd have a disaster in the United States. All the gas stations couldn't pump gas if you were still using gas. Your stoplights in these big cities, all the control of traffic would be down. Trucks couldn't get in the cities with food. And I think there's some major things that could happen that would bring about the crisis they need to control the world. There are proposals, these are proposals made for the establishment of a world federation. Number one, reform the UN. You see, the UN just advises now they want more than that. They want it to control. Incremental changes of the UN, for example, through the inclusion of an elected UN parliament. What's a parliament do? They make laws, okay? They make laws. Who's going to enforce the laws? Then they have representatives from every country that will enforce these laws. And then it says, number three, within the UN, there is a League of Democratic Nations, this exists already, which supports a federation of nations. Get the nations together and give them some authority. Now, the proposals for the establishment of a world federation, a direct reform of the UN Charter. Another is strengthening the democratization of existing global institutions, such as the World Trade Organization. You can control people through money. Do you see that in Revelation 2? You see that also? You will not be able to buy or sell. So you want to use money to control people. Also, the World Health Organization could be added to that. And they tried to use the World Health Organization to control people of the world. And then they said that they wanted to establish an Earth Constitution. That has already been done. It was finalized in 1991, and it outlines a detailed plan for a world federalist government and is promoted today by the Earth Constitution Institute and the World Constitution and Parliament Association. So Parliament, again, make laws. Interesting, isn't it? Problems with establishing the government, well, there are various countries looking for world domination. And getting China involved and Russia involved is a little problematic. So what kind of crisis is it going to take to get them involved? And it requires extraordinary amounts of cooperation, cooperation with international trust. Do we have international trust between countries now? Do countries trust each other? No, they don't trust each other. So these things are standing in the way. There's economic competition between countries. And one country will lower the taxes on businesses, and then businesses move over there. And you know, so there's competition between these countries. And sometimes they use import taxes. Social media, in their inability to control what people are saying on the internet. Is that a problem? Well, I don't know if you're aware of it, but the World Economic Forum has tried to approach countries and say, you know, you need to control the internet. Now, what's happening in the internet right now and what's going to take place over social media is this. You've heard of artificial intelligence? Well, the problem with artificial intelligence is you can make, let's say, the President of the United States stand up, and it'll look like him, sound like him, and everything, and he's saying things, and it's really not him, but you can put that out over the social media, and people will believe it. So the government's going to say, hey, we've got to control all of this, because this disinformation is getting out there. We're going to control. And that's what we see written in the book of Revelation, don't we? Total control of people. And then it says there is an association that controls, that goes to various governments to search out information like climate change, vaccinations, abortion. Here's one that you find in the United Kingdom. What's written down there below is too small to read, but we'll make it bigger. It says, this company logically combines advanced artificial intelligence with one of the world's largest dedicated fact-checking teams. I forget, they have hundreds of people involved in this company. We help governments, businesses, and enterprises, organizations uncover and address harmful misinformation and deliberate disinformation online. So now, I think we're going to see more and more control by governments of the internet. There are nearly 50 organizations I found on the internet, 50 organizations that favor a worldwide government, world federalism. Here's a list. You can't read them all, but this is a list just in the Americas of all these organizations, a lot of those in the USA. Another thing that has come out in recent times, and you may have heard about this, Fratelli Tutti is an encyclical letter from the Pope. And Pope Francis, he says, I read the whole thing through and then pulled out certain parts of it that I thought were interesting. A single global authority with real teeth is needed to prevent any nation or small group of nations from having too much power. He used that more than once in this encyclical. We need an organization, a world organization with real teeth. There should be a standardization of law worldwide. Worldwide constitution, right? There should be a single global authority with real teeth, again, he says, to prevent any nation or any small group of nations, I guess this is a repeat, to having too much power. Another thing he talked about, we need to have this world government to fight poverty and hunger, to get equal pay for workers. We're using unions there, right? Are unions ever used by the church? You look at Europe today, and in most of the countries in the European Union, you can't buy anything on Sunday. Now, in Germany, it's almost impossible. France, you can around the tourist areas. But, you know, it's... And they said the unions are behind it. The labor unions are behind it. Well, who's behind the labor unions is a good question. So, and then they talk about equal pay for workers, the unions, fight global warming, again. Didn't we just read that's one of the major things that the World Economic Forum and these others are interested in? And fight pandemics. So defend human rights. This is what is in that encyclical. Fight human rights. Defend human rights. Do away with national borders. Are we seeing that anywhere? An attempt to do away with national borders? Who's behind that? Stop racism. So that could be good. Fight the greed of capitalism. There's somebody over there in Rome that doesn't like capitalism. And women's rights, stop religious persecution. Is the church, the Catholic Church, under a little persecution in this country now? This is encyclical from the Pope. There are certain churches being attacked, so he's concerned. And this is not just in the United States. And he says there should be what? Global socialism. Global socialism. What is the problem with socialism? What's the major problem with socialism?
It works real good until you run out of other people's money.
Yeah, that was the Prime Minister of England that said that, right? And the problem with global socialism, does it agree with Adventism?
Not in ways.
Some ways, but if you think about it, along with this is these people also believe that there will be a government that can solve all the world's problems. They believe that we are actually becoming a better and better world. You know, they like to play down the crime rate. So, oh, it's getting better, it's getting better. People are getting better. And you just give enough time and the world is going to be a perfect place to live. And, you know, Adventists come along and they say, you know what? The world's getting worse and worse. And Christ is going to have to come back and solve the problem. Now, does that conflict? There's a definite conflict there. In Russia, those who were preaching that came under severe persecution, were sent out to Siberia, simply because it did not agree with the concept of socialism. Another thing he said is I would also note the need for reform of the United Nations organization, and likewise in economic institutions and international finance, so that the concept of the family of nations can acquire what? Real teeth. He uses that about three times already. Real teeth. The media can help us greatly in this, especially nowadays, when the networks of human communication have made unprecedented advances. We cannot accept a digital world designed to exploit our weaknesses and bring out the worst in people. It might bring out the worst in some of these people who are religious leaders, right? I don't want to see that. Again, he says, it is essential to devise stronger and more efficiently organized international institutions with functionarios who are appointed fairly by agreement from national government. And, he says, empowered to impose sanctions. Do governments impose sanctions on other governments? Yeah. Can they impose sanctions on individuals? Well, yeah, they can. In fact, how much control do they have over an individual? I don't think I have this in there, but how much control do they have over individuals? Can they take certain things away from you? Yeah, there's a list of things that they can actually come in and take away from you, an individual. And can they take your property? Who owns your property? Just don't pay your taxes and find out who owns your property. They'll put it up for auction, right? He goes on, for these reasons, the church, while respecting the autonomy of political life, does not restrict her mission to the private sphere. In other words, we're not going to restrict our work to just changing people's lives through the gospel. On the contrary, she cannot and must not remain on the sidelines in the building of a better world. Wherever the councils of nations come together to establish the rights and duties of man, we are honored to be permitted to take our place among them. Very interesting what's going on there. Now, what about Bible predictions of world government? Revelation 16, it says that during the sixth plague, that the kings of the earth and the whole world are gathered together to battle. They battle against who? They battle against God. And what brings these kings of the world together? It says there in that same plague, it says the thing that brings them together are miracles. There are miracles being performed around the world in different places, and that's going to bring the kings of the world together. Revelation 12, we already read this one. The dragon was enraged with the woman. Who's the woman? That's God's true church mentioned at the beginning of the chapter. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. How many churches does that describe? How many have a testimony, a spirit of prophecy, and keep all the commandments? Yeah. Revelation 17, and it does talk about that these 10 horns or these different leaders of nations would come together and they would hate the harlot and make her destitute and naked and burn her with fire. But this is after they all come together making war against God's people. But it says, for God has put it in their hearts, first of all, to fulfill his purpose, to be one mind and give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. So it doesn't seem possible, you know, in the Revelation 13, it describes this beast as the Christian church. And who's the biggest part of the Christian church? The Catholic Church is. It's they say there are 1.2 billion in the world, they claim, out of 8 billion. But it's, it does say, talk about the beast being someone who is ruling. Now, what about God's people? Psalms 91, I like this. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. We've got to know the truth, don't we? And we may be asked even to stand up in front of courts and leaders. Got to know what you believe. And it says, and you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. It might be guns in our case. Nor the pestilence. What's a pestilence? COVID-19. Pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. He goes on, he says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. That's a good promise. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. What will we see? What is the reward of the wicked? Not only at the second coming of Christ, but at the end of the 1,000 years. Will we see the reward of the wicked? This is brought out and other places in the Old Testament, but we will see it all happen. Because you have made this, the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. That's the 7 last plagues it's talking about there. And the question is, have we made Jesus our dwelling place? Is the Bible prophesying one world government? Yeah. After the 1,000 years, he sees a holy city coming down from God out of heaven, the new earth. The heaven and the first earth were passed away. And so he sees the new Jerusalem. And it says that, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Who's that? The tabernacle of God is Jesus. He is with men. That's us. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. It mentions also that they will not even need light in the city because God's presence is there in the city, right? The nations who are saved shall walk in its light. The kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. So all the kings of the earth are here again, right? Many of the kings of the earth. But who appoints these kings? Jesus, all right? Maybe we will have organization in the new earth. And it says the gates will not be shut by day or night. And notice it says, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. We're talking about the one world government now. This is it. I like this out of Isaiah. I don't know if you've read this. Moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold. What does that say? That's telling us that the atmosphere is going to be different. It may be like the earth at creation. And it says, as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord binds up the bruise of His people and heals the stroke of their wound. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before You, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and He rules over the nations. One world government? All the nations? Yes. It's coming, right? So there will be an attempt before Jesus comes, and it'll take place for sure at the end of the millennium. He says in Romans, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. As the wicked come up against the holy city, you see, every tongue, every knee bowing. Kings of this earth, yes, I can see Hitler out there bowing before the Lord, say, okay, you're right, I was evil, and it all comes to an end. And then Daniel, he talks about the saints of the Most High, look at in verse 18, receiving the kingdom, and they'll possess the kingdom forever and ever, forever. Zechariah, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day, as it's that it shall be, the Lord is one and his name one. Good. Let's go ahead and just have a real short word of prayer here. Father, we thank you that you have made all these promises and you've revealed to us what we face in the future. Help it to increase our faith when we see these things happen, knowing that you're all wise and you know everything. You know our life, what is going to happen to us, and you know what's going to happen to the world. So bless us, we pray, and bring us comfort in these promises that you are in control and you will establish one world government.